Nan Hayworth, how goes the race?
Well, it's an exciting time, Alan. I've been working all over our Hudson Valley and every single day and listening to the folks I serve and the folks I hope to serve in the new district. And it's been really a great opportunity to participate even more fully in the life of our Hudson Valley and the new places that I go. So our latest poll actually had me ahead by about 9 points. So so far so good, I guess you could say.
I saw a picture of you in the paper, which is extraordinary. You know why? You were on the Today Show or something. I don't remember what it was, CNN, and there you were. You know, we've talked so many times, but the fact of the matter is, I have no idea what you look like. So it's very interesting. I once met Shelley Silver in the hall. We've talked maybe 500 times. He had no idea who I was because, of course, you know, when you're talking on the radio, it's the radio. Now, Nixon lost, as you remember, on the television, but won on the radio.
This is true.
Get it?
Well,
yeah.
I certainly am meeting lots and lots of folks in person, so I hope they're at least not startled by my appearance. I do get a number of comments along the lines of, gee, I thought you'd be taller. So
what is this race coming down to? I mean, what's the definition between you and your opponent is?
Certainly what the two themes that I've heard all along, one has been that people, especially, you know, we have a beautiful state in which we live, but it's very, very expensive, and people do suffer from the burdens of taxes, local taxes, state taxes, and, of course, federal taxes as well. So they worry about the cost of living. They worry about being able to afford to continue living in their communities, and they want their kids to be able to do that, too, and they do see that friends and relatives and their adult children are moving away. So the economy, opportunities to work, jobs, very, very important. And the other theme that I hear is that people want their representatives to behave with common sense and behave as adults and get along with members of the other party in their work in Washington. And I certainly have been in sympathy with my constituents on both those areas and have worked very hard to represent them honorably and well and effectively. And I will say I've had a very good reception.
So I want to talk to you about health care, if I can. Governor Romney has, in fact, what some people think, moved backwards on what some people call Obamacare and said, okay, there are parts of it I like. Well, he should, because parts of it he invented.
Yeah, yeah.
Back in Massachusetts.
Sure.
Are you disappointed that he's moving backwards on it?
Well, I understand why he wants to reassure voters across the country that, you know, he shares, the way I interpret his comments is that he certainly shares the goals of that law, as do I. Every American should have affordable, portable health insurance and access to good, affordable care. Every American, irrespective of what they do, irrespective of their pre-existing conditions, we want to be able to provide as a society for those most in need. And we want to be able to do it. And here's really the key to the challenge with the 2010 law, which, as you know, Alan, I don't call Obamacare, because I always wanted to be able to have the discussion without without any seeming pejoratives, if you will. But the goals of the law are good, but the way it seeks to achieve those goals it will unfortunately harm our economy. And there are very sound arguments that we can make to bolster that contention, obviously. And there are alternatives that people like me, certainly, and many others say would work much better and not be costly and would allow us to direct every dollar we can toward care, which is where it should be going.
Specifically, though, and
sure,
if you would, what are the objections to the way in which it's done, you know, in the Affordable Care Act?
Well, it's a very costly law. It certainly institutes even greater federal control over our health choices, over the administration of our health insurance plans. It takes away consumer choice by limiting the ability of Americans to use flexible accounts, pre-tax dollar accounts, flexible savings accounts, health savings accounts. It enshrines the third-party payer mechanism as the way we buy insurance. And the problem with that is that third-party payer comprehensive policies are the most costly way to do insurance. And, of course, we're adding layers and layers of federal bureaucracy, 150 different new panels and boards and offices. And to pay for all those bureaucrats in Washington and around the country is costly.
And yet, you know, you're putting 40-something million people on the rolls. It's going to take some people to do that, isn't it?
Well, let's facilitate that happening, Alan. I'm not arguing that. Again, I want to see every single American be able to have the insurance and the care that they need. And here's the way I would. If somebody said, "Gee, Nan, what would you do?" Here's what I would do. One, I would take a page from the book of the state of Indiana and Governor Daniels there with the legislature. Democrats and Republicans together created a plan for their Medicaid recipients and for state employees called Healthy Indiana. And what it does is it uses health savings accounts to provide for a lower cost of care because people make more sensible decisions when it's their own pre-tax dollars that they're using for routine visits, routine medications, minor procedures on diagnostic exercises, procedures, things like that.
Yeah, but the other side of that, Nan, if I can, is you have to have money to put into that
account. Absolutely true. That's why you're absolutely right, and that's why the state of Indiana, for Medicaid recipients, helps them to fund those accounts. You're exactly right, and that's why the state provides for that in the program. But the state of Indiana, as indeed states across the country are facing, New York certainly is facing tremendous challenges trying to fund Medicaid. And Governor Daniels, in particular, in talking about the program, and I've heard him personally speak about the program, wanted to provide for those cost savings, for a more sensible way to make those health care choices and empower consumers, empower patients and doctors. And health savings accounts was the way that that he and the legislature, again, Democrats and Republicans, decided they could do it. It's been a very successful program.
You're a physician.
Yeah.
I recently visited a physician who said he can't make money on the Medicare allotment that he's getting. Is that right?
Well, there are lots of doctors across the country, and I think the latest statistic that it was close to 10% of practices surveyed across the country have had to close their doors to Medicare patients, or at least to new Medicare patients, because Medicare reimbursements actually, and I certainly had the experience in practice, Medicare reimbursements tended to be low relative to reimbursements by other insurance plans. Medicaid reimbursements, of course, tended to be even lower. And the mechanism in the new law, the 2010 law, that will allow for trying to hold down the rapidly increasing cost of health care in the Medicare program, and it certainly has been increasing at greater than the rate of inflation year upon year for quite a while.
We're out of time this time, but we're coming back, of course.
Okay.
And so we could leave it there if it's all right with you, and we'll be back again real soon. Thanks.